The reckless journey of following the Christian life, the Christian faith, walking with Jesus is the most wonderful, glorious, exciting, reckless thing that you ever could possibly do. I hope over the weeks of this series that we're in, this series called Reckless Faith, that you'll get a sense of that picture, a sense of that and a picture of that going on. We talked about last week that we live in a world that is so big on safety, you know, safety conscious. There are safety warnings, and be careful of this, be careful of that. Watch out, don't do this. You might die, you might get sued. Even simple instructions have become complicated. See, that is the world we live in. And some of those, that safety consciousness has crept into the church and into our Christian lives, that we want to live a life that is safe. I did a little research this week on some warning labels, and I found a few. I just want to mention here this morning. On a rain gauge, they have these words: suitable for outdoor use. Like, you're going to use a rain gauge in the house? How about this? On a can of air freshener, it says, for use by trained personnel only. What's up with that? There was one that says, has been found to cause cancer in lab mice. And that's found on a box of rat poison. How about this one? Instruction says, remove wrapper, open mouth, insert muffin, then eat. Like, do we need to know that? How about on children's cough medicine are these words: do not drive a car or operate machinery after taking this medication. Children's cough medicine? How about on a package of a clothes iron? Now, tell me how many have ever done this. It says, do not iron clothes on body. Now, how many have done that? You know, one last wrinkle. How about on a hair dryer? Do not use while sleeping. Okay? How about on odor eaters? These words: please do not eat. What's up with that, man? Really, is that what we have come to? And the answer is yes. Our world has become so safety conscious. I was thinking of making a warning label that we actually could place inside our Bibles. You know, we can place them inside our Bible so that when you open it, it's a warning label that tells you how dangerous it is to read this Bible and read this book, and even more dangerous if you actually do what this book has to say. I want to talk about dangerous. Follow God. Talk about reckless. Live like Jesus lived. I was even thinking about a warning label that we actually could place on Christians. Maybe place them on their foreheads, you know, so that anywhere they go, people would be able to see. Maybe even put some patches on your arms so that people would know. It's a warning that to follow Jesus, to go on this reckless adventure, this passionate pursuit of Jesus and His will and His desire, that it is so dangerous. And it is not always safe, and it is not always easy to follow Jesus. Someone has sold you an idea that becoming a Christian is really about getting a pass into heaven one day and following these simple steps of salvation and give God 1 hour a week, and then that's it. You're all fixed. You know what? They've sold you a lie. But why have they done that? See, the Christian life is about something that's much, much bigger than that. It's something that's more glorious and it's more amazing. We began talking about last week that we look back in Luke chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. Jesus is saying there that what it means to be a Christian, to be a follower of Him. And He gives us three things that you have to do. Remember He said, last week He said, you need to deny yourself. And it's not always just about me. It is about Jesus. And He says, we need to deny ourselves. And then He says, take up your cross. We have to be willing to die each and every day, to give our whole self to Him. Just like that song we sung for communion, hungry. You want to totally, completely give yourself to Him. And that means every single day. Every day when I get up, I say, you will deny yourself and you will take up His cross and follow Him, is the third thing. Every day. every single day for the rest of your life. Now you may be saying, wait a minute. You may be asking yourself, you mean I have to deny myself? That I have to take up the cross and I have to follow Jesus? Is that really what I signed up for? Really? Absolutely, yes. If you are here and you are a follower of Jesus, we need to learn that. And if you're not a follower of Jesus and you want to become Christian, you must understand what it means to be a follower of Jesus. It means your whole life. It means following Jesus with all your heart, all your mind, and all of your soul and strength. It's everything you have. I remember talking to a young girl that wanted to give her life, a teenager. And I remember sitting there talking to her, and she said, I mean, she's crying. She wants to give her life. And I said, do you realize when you make the decision, it's not an emotional decision to make at this very moment, but it is a decision you are making for the rest of your life. She says, yes, this is what I want to do. And we need to realize that it is that type of decision. You see, it is not just a pass into heaven and an inconvenience of going to church for an hour each week. That is not the Christian life. It is so much more. And in this journey of reckless faith, we're going to discover what God has to say about following Him, about walking with Him, and the reality for most of us, the things that we love, the interests we have, the things we do, often grow out of watching other people. We see how they act, we see how they speak, and we become like them. I didn't really know how much that was really true until one day I realized I was becoming more and more like my dad each and every day. I remember one day I was searching the vehicle, and Glenn says, what are you doing? There's a sound. I could hear a sound. I could hear a rattling in the car. I'm searching for that sound through that car. And she says, I don't hear it, but I do. And I searched, and I finally found it, and I put a little piece of paper in there. That's what my dad used to do all the time. You get in his Suburban, and there were little pieces of paper all over here. But guess what? There were no rattling, no squeakings. That was my dad. And I found myself starting to act and think like my dad. I remember I was talking to my nephews one day, and they were doing something, and they weren't doing what I wanted them to do, and they weren't doing what I asked them to do. And I finally, out of exasperation, I said, do it because I said to do it. And that's what my dad used to say to me all the time. And I realized I'm becoming more and more like my dad every day. We become like our friends and the people that we're around. If you want to know what it is to like, what it's like to be a Christian, then watch Jesus, listen to Jesus, do what He says, and follow how He lived. See, you walk in the footsteps of Jesus. You know what? That is reckless. That is dangerous, and that will cost you everything you have and cause you beyond what you can ever imagine that you could do. See, but this is what it is to be a Christian. See, it is a reckless pursuit of the things in the heart of God, and following no matter what the cost. So this morning, I want us to hear a teaching of Jesus, and I want you to ask, what does that mean for me? What is he getting at? What is He calling me to do? And so if you will, if you open your Bibles, we're going to be looking in Luke chapter 8. And we're going to start in verse 4. I'll put it up here on the screen for those who don't have it. But I'm going to read it to you from the New American Standard. And we're going to read these verses together. Jesus is telling a story. He's telling a parable. And this is not to the religious leaders or the elite people. He's talking to the everyday people, the people at large. And He wants them to understand something. So He teaches them with a story. And this is what it says. When a large crowd was coming together, and those from the various cities were journeying to Him, He spoke by way of a parable. The sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell beside the road, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky soil, and so as soon as it grew up, it withered away, because it had no moisture. He said, other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. Other seed fell into the good soil, and grew up and produced a crop 100 times as great. So Jesus teaches a parable. I want you this morning to notice two things about this parable. First, I want you to notice the farmer. See, the farmer was out doing his work and he was scattering seed. The farmer goes and just throws seed everywhere. See, there is some weeds over there, so he threw a little seed over there. There's these hard places, this hard soil he throws over there. There's thorns, he throws a little. He just throws seed everywhere. Everywhere he goes, he threw seed. He just throws seeds recklessly. If you know farming and you know any farmers, the people who farm, you throw it where, you don't throw it where the birds would eat it. You don't throw it where the weeds are. Now, you find the best soil and you put your seeds in that good soil. See, there is something about this farmer. There is something else going on in the story Jesus is trying to teach us. There is something reckless. There's something extravagant. There's something generous about this farmer. See, then also notice in the story that there are four different kinds of soil. Some of the soil is so receptive that it produces 100 times what is planted. Some of the soil isn't ready and is not receptive, but the farmer doesn't seem to care. He just scatters the seed everywhere. So now Jesus goes on to give his commentary. He explains exactly what is going on in the story. Look with me in verses 11 through 15. He goes on and says, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those beside the road are those who have heard. Then the devil comes along and takes away the word from their heart so that they will not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no firm root. They believe for a while, and in time of temptation, fall away. The seed with fell among the thorns are those ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked out with worries and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to maturity. But the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. Jesus says, let me explain what this means. The sower goes out to sow, and the sower throws out the word there, the word of God, the truth of God, the good news, the gospel, the grace of God, and he just scatters it out there. Some of the soil receives it, and some of the soil doesn't. I think implied in this parable is that what Jesus is saying is both an insult and an affirmation. Here is the insulting part. I think Jesus is saying, when it comes to us, as we scatter his seed, his word, his grace, his good news, and that person's heart is not ready, that we are not smart enough to know if the soil is ready. He doesn't think that we're intelligent enough to understand that the soil is ready. You might be saying, well, thanks, Jesus. We're dumb. But what is he saying is that we're not smart enough to be able to look at a person and look at them and see what's going on in the inside of them. We only see the outside. We don't know what their heart is. We don't know if the heart is ready. And we don't know if the heart of that person is not ready. If they look ready, I will scatter a little seed. And if they're not ready, I'll just withhold the seed and I won't share the gospel. What Jesus is saying is, we can't figure that out. We don't know if the heart is ready. We can't figure it out. But here's the encouragement. Here's what you do. Just scatter seed everywhere. Where? Everywhere. When? All the time. Jesus says, don't just play it safe. You don't know if a heart is ready. You don't know if the soil is ready. I don't know if it is ready. But what you do know is that God's word is true and that we can scatter it. Just scatter it recklessly. Scatter it freely. Scatter it generously. See, that is God's desire for us. If you are a follower of Jesus, his call on your life is this. It is his glorious pursuit, walking for him, seeking to share his love, share his grace, share this truth, and share his gospel freely everywhere we go. not trying to figure out if it's the right moment to share it and if the time is right, if this person is ready for it, wherever you go, it is always the right moment. I just need to be faithful and respond. So Jesus tells his story and paints this picture. He wants us to understand that this call on our lives, if we want to live this reckless life of faith, if we want to live it, we have to deny ourselves. We need to take up the cross and we need to follow him and scatter seed wherever we go. I want us to look here this morning at this Jesus and this recklessness. See, I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the one. Jesus is the one who is this original trailblazer. See, I believe that Jesus, with all my heart, is the one who sets the tone for our lives. Jesus is what I would call the trailblazer to this life of this reckless faith we are called to live. You want to learn how to live a reckless life? If you want to live that life, there's no better example than to look at the life of Jesus and follow Jesus. You follow in his footsteps. You go where he wants you to go. You speak as he spoke, and you love as he loved, and you served as he served. You will go in reckless places. You will never have a boring day for the rest of your life. See, you start following Jesus. You start going where he goes and loving the way that he loved. It will transform you. God will use you to bless other people. See, we are going to look at this example of Jesus. What does it mean to look at Jesus, listen to Jesus, and become more and more like Jesus? How can we launch into this life of reckless faith? So I have some questions I want to ask you here this morning. How does Jesus show love? You know, if we look at what we see in John chapter 15, verse 13... it says this: greater love has no man than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. See, there's no greater love than to lay down your life for a friend. And you know what Jesus did? He went to the cross. He bore our sins. The perfect, spotless Lamb of God came for sinful people in our brokenness and in our rebellion and paid the price to wash us clean for all who would accept it. It is called the gospel. It is the good news. Greater love has no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus said, I call you friends. I give my life for you. This is the love of Jesus. This is the heart of Jesus. When you read the gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, you see that Jesus showed his love to all kinds of people. He was not selective. Jesus cared for the educated, the elite, the religious leaders of the time. Jesus cared for the broken, the downcast, the maligned. He did not play favorites. I get bugged when Christians talk about, when they read the scripture, it says the only ones that Jesus really loved was the broken and the outcast. Here's the truth. We are all broken and outcast. We are all those people. Every one of us needs him. Some of us just are better at covering it up than others. See, Jesus cared for people in the whole spectrum of people. Remember when Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. He was afraid to come during the day. He was one of the religious leaders of the time. And he did not want to come into this public setting where the light would be shone upon him. He was one of those leaders of the day who should be leading other people. He was highly educated. He was very bright. He was influential. He probably was very rich. Jesus built a relationship with him. Then you have people who had leprosy. And when those people walked on the roads during their time, they had to let everyone know that they had this disease of leprosy. So they had to yell ahead of themselves, unclean, unclean, so everyone could get out of their way. Could you imagine? Not only did you have this devastating disease, but everywhere you went, you had to yell those words so everyone could look at you. Everyone would know that you were unclean. You had this disease of leprosy. But Jesus went, and he saw this person. He touched this person. He cared for this person. He healed this person. See, that is Jesus. See, some of you are starting to get what I'm saying. So what you are saying is that Jesus loved all kinds of people in all kinds of places, in all kinds of ways. Are you trying to say that for me to live a reckless life of faith, I have to learn to love people? Even people who seem to be unlovable. I have to love people who irritate me. I have to love people who don't even deserve it, so we think. See, that's the call. You want to live a reckless life of faith. And you want to be walking with Jesus. We need to walk with Jesus and we need to love like Jesus loved. Then see what God will do in you and through your life. The second question I'd like to ask is this. In what ways was Jesus generous? See, Jesus was generous in every way possible. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, he says, "But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." See, he didn't wait and say, "I will give my life generously to you when you deserve it." We don't. He didn't say that when you get everything together, when you get your act fully together, "I will give my life." It says, while we were yet sinners, he died for us. That kind of generosity. Jesus says here in that I will give you my whole life. I will give all of my life. And he listened to people in need. And he cared and loved and he gave. So you're saying that my generosity, I should walk in the steps of Jesus and I should be gracious and generous like Jesus. Generous even to the point of giving my whole life. Well, yes. Because Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you must what? Deny yourself. Take up my cross and follow me. See, that's the call. That's the mission. That is what Jesus has put before us. That is why following Jesus, that is why we should put a warning on the front of our Bibles. And so that people should know about this book. And that's why we need to have it in our Bibles and not on a hairdryer. That is why we should put a label on our foreheads of Christians that says, "Dangerous because this person is following Jesus." His journey of faithfulness took him to the cross. But Jesus did what God wanted him to do. I think our third question is, how did Jesus serve? In John 13, there is this amazing picture. Jesus is coming to the end of his life. He's drawing to the end. He knows that he's going to the cross. He is gathered with his followers. In John chapter 13, it tells of Jesus looking around the table and realized that when they entered into this room, that no one washed their feet. Normally, a slave would wash the feet of the guest, but when there wasn't one there to do that, one of the guests normally would. And Jesus looks around, and no one had washed their feet. It hadn't been done. All the disciples were gathered around the table, but no one had washed any of the guests' feet. So Jesus gets up. He goes over there, and he washes the feet of his disciples. He gets to Thomas, the one who is going to doubt, and he washes his feet. He gets to Peter, who is going to deny him, and he washes Peter's feet. You know, there's a little dialogue between Peter and Peter. He says, "No, you're not going to wash my feet." And Jesus says, "If I don't wash your feet, you have no part of me." He says, "Then wash all my body." He says, "That's not necessary." He goes around the table, and he washes each of the disciples' feet one by one. He gets to Judas, who's going to betray him. You know what he does? He washes the feet of Judas. Then he says these words, verses 13 and 14. "You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and the teacher, wash your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." Jesus saying, "I have given you an example, so follow it." See, that is the invitation of Jesus. Serve. How much? To the point of washing feet. What does that look like in our culture? It looks like whatever God calls you to do. It looks like giving your life in whatever way that God calls you to serve. See, the picture comes to my mind when I think about this, that God has called you to serve, that you get down on your knees and you humbly wash someone's feet. And I will ask God, how do you want me to serve? And as you're down on your knees, God says, I want you to do this. You say, but I don't want to do that. But God says, I want you to do that. So you humbly do it. You serve. It's inconvenient. It's difficult. It's smelly. And it's dirty. You get your hands in that muck, in the mire of the world, into the pain of people's lives, and you serve Him. You serve them for Him. It is in those moments that you can look next to you and see Jesus kneeling beside you, washing their feet too. See, you meet Jesus when you serve. You meet Jesus when you are loving, when you're serving, when you're giving. It's in the mess of all this, you find Jesus. There He is at work with you. You see people who say, I don't feel close to Jesus. I feel far from Jesus. Here's the question. Are you where Jesus is working? Are you doing the things of Jesus? Or are you playing it safe? Well, I punched the clock for Christianity. I gave my life to Jesus. I get to go to heaven. I give Jesus 1 hour a week. Isn't that enough? Isn't that the Christian life? No. It is everything. It is all of us. It is reckless love. It's reckless generosity. It's reckless service, because this is how Jesus lived, and we are to follow Him. This is what He's called us to do. And then how did Jesus engage in relationships? See, Jesus loved people. He walked with people. Jesus had this beautiful way where he took people who understood the things of God, who were walking with God, and then those who were far away from God. And He had a way of taking those two groups of people and bringing them together. A way of bridging relationships so that people would come to know the Father. See, Jesus loved, served, it was generous, and connected with people relationally. In a few weeks, we're going to talk about what it is like to be reckless in our relationships. Not just staying safe in our Christian little bubble. Now that I'm a Christian, now all I need to do is just stay around Christian people and keep it safe. But how do I get out there and be God's person in this world in which we live? If you want to follow Jesus, you need to go where He leads you. And why did Jesus pray so much? You see, when you read the Gospels, you see that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. He is God. He and the Father are one. Yet in Mark 1:35, you find Jesus. He has gone through this long day of ministry. He has been healing people. He's been doing miracles. People are coming to Him and asking things of Him, pushing up against Him. He was giving, loving, and serving. All these things we have been talking about. Then it says there in verse 1, verse 35, in the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place and was praying there. And while He is doing this, people find Him and come to Jesus. And they say, we need you to do more ministry. But here is Jesus, pulling away and talking with the Father. You want to live a reckless life of faith? Learn to pray. In John 10, that we looked at last week, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and you are the sheep, and my sheep recognize my voice. You want to be reckless? Listen to Jesus. Listen for Jesus. He will speak to you. He will lead you. He will direct you. He says, my sheep recognize my voice. If you want to live a reckless life of faith, you need to learn to pray. And then the last question I want us to look at here this morning is, how has Jesus given us example of powerful words? When you read the Gospels, you see the words of Jesus. He is bold, He's powerful, strong, but gentle and humble and pastoral. He is powerful and at times will blow your minds with the things he says. You need to read this book, the Bible. See, that is why we've been in this reading program this year of reading through the entire Bible. And that's why inside your bulletins this morning, if you'll look inside there, there's readings for each and every day of this week. So that we can open this book and we ask God, what does he have for me today? He is speaking through his word. And Jesus wants us to speak with bold words. But we have to listen to what he says. And listen when he speaks and how he speaks. And speak how he does. And follow what he has called us to do. See, I want to invite you together in this journey in reckless faith to say, God, I want to give you my whole life. I'm going to try to deny myself. I'm going to try to deny myself. And I'm going to take up the cross. I'm going to say my whole life belongs to you. Every dream, every desire, every longing, every action, every hour, every moment, every ounce of my strength, all that I have, all that I am, try it. Jesus, as you speak, as you lead, as I read your word, I'm going to try to follow where you lead. I'm going to try to stay in your steps and go where you call me to go. That is going to be my goal. And if you will try that with me for the next 6 weeks, you will never want to go back again. See, because God will take you places. He will do things in you and through you you couldn't imagine or dream. When you begin to give, love, serve, and get into the challenges of life, in the midst of all that, you realize that you are side by side with Jesus and doing what he has made you to do, doing what he has called you to do, you are just going to long for so much, much more. See, that is the Christian life. It's not an hour a week. It is all. It is every moment of every day, of every week, of every month, of every year, for the rest of your life. Are you ready for this? Forever with Jesus. This morning we're going to sing a song of decision. And maybe there's some here this morning that need to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Scripture's really clear. All you need to do is that you need to repent of your sins, confess and believe in him. He says, then repent of your sins and go down in the watery grave of baptism, have your sins washed away, and receive the Holy Spirit to come live within your life. That's what he has called us, this reckless life. And it's not just for the moment. It's not because it's an emotional response, but because it is a decision you're making for the rest of your life. Maybe there's others this morning that just need to make some changes. Maybe this morning, from right where you're at, you need to say, Lord, I'm going to do this. I'm going to, for the next 6 weeks, to give everything of me. I'm going to deny myself. I'm going to take my cross. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to do what you ask me to do. Maybe that's your decision this morning. Maybe there's some that need to be prayed for. Whatever it is, we're going to sing Amazing Grace. And the grace that he offers us is truly amazing. He offers it to each and every one of us. As we sing, if there's a decision you need to make this morning, publicly, come and make it. If there's one you need to make from your seat, make it there. But whatever it is, don't leave here without making that decision. Please stand with me and sing.